This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Enterprise Biz Bites. Good afternoon. I'm Frida Liu, and together with me is
Christine Wong.
I'm so happy to see you, Christine. For a moment, I was fidgeting with the camera and I couldn't see her face. So happy to see your face, Chris. What are we talking about today, Chris? We're asking what question?
Right. We are asking you, have you considered becoming a freelance worker in the last 2 years? Why or why not? And we've got a poll on Twitter at BFM Radio with the following options. Yes, I need a change. Yes, but only part-time. No, I'm happy where I am. And other, tell us what.
All right. And do tell us what. And of course, you can also tell us what over WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So we're talking, of course, about the Great Resignation and whether this will amplify the freelance movement. This is an article that came out in Malaysia Now. So while millions in the US have gone on strike or quit their jobs due to the pandemic frustrations in a movement dubbed the Great Resignation, a similar situation is not expected to occur in Malaysia, although an economist warns that the possibility exists. And I'm very interested to see the poll results in a while. Some of you may be harboring the idea of thinking that you've had enough of the job that you're currently working at for a number of reasons. You might have been there too long and you think it's time to move on, or you might have been reading about the idea of the Great Resignation, something that we've been discussing here in Enterprise for a while. And whilst it seems as though this movement is in full effect in the US and parts of Europe, has it penetrated here into Malaysia? So we saw this article in Malaysia Now, as mentioned, and thought we'd share with you what they had to say when they had a look at the same question.
Yes, and as of August, over 30 million Americans were reported to have voluntarily left their jobs, leaving the country to face a labor crisis on top of the nationwide strikes by nurses, factory workers, and other laborers. So with terms like Striketober making their way across social media and a shift towards freelance work even in countries like China, the COVID-19 crisis has had a strong hand in upending traditional concepts of labor and employment. But the Malaysian Employers Federation doesn't see any need to brace for similar labour problems in Malaysia.
Okay, so MEF President Syed Hussein Syed Hasman, he said that the group's data on attrition rates instead indicates a gradual drop in resignations. He said there was a declining trend in the average monthly turnover rate for both executives and non-executives between July 2018 and June 2021. He added that the average rate for executive resignations decreased from 1.38% between July 2018 and June 2019 to 1.16% and 0.93%.
And he also said for the period of July 2020 to June 2021, the average rate for non-executive counterparts was also lower at 1.07% compared to previous periods at 1.57% and 1.45%. Now, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic, which began in late 2019, caused havoc in the workplace on a global scale. Offices were closed, business operations moved online, employees were, of course, told to work from home to cut the risk of infection. But with many countries now taking a live with it approach to the virus, companies have been calling their workers back to the office, a call that in some cases is met with mixed reactions.
Okay, so while some are eager to return to workplace, others prefer the convenience of working from home. However, the latter option is often also accompanied by complaints of longer working hours and high levels of stress. So in Malaysia, 12,371 workers took voluntary separation schemes from January to June this year, while 17,449 were terminated, according to statistics from the Human Resources Ministry. Unemployment stood at 4.8% in July following a spike in COVID-19 cases and the full lockdown just a month before. However, this decreased to 4.6% in August.
Yes. So Syed Hussein said that this is 748,800 people compared to 778,200 in July as more economic activities were permitted to resume operations. He also cited a report by the Statistics Department showing that the number of employed people rose by 0.5% month on month to 15.38 million people in August from 15.29 million in July. And the MEF itself expects economic performance next year to increase labour demand with more job opportunities available in the market.
Right. And the economy is forecast to rebound alongside global economic recovery throughout the year and into 2022. He said the implementation of economic and fiscal stimulus packages will support Malaysia's economic growth, which is expected to grow 6% and 5.8% as forecast by the International International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Economist Adila Zafira, however, said that while the numbers do not indicate a similar trend happening in Malaysia, there could be a parallel preference among the younger generation about working conditions.
Mm-hmm. So Adila, who is attached to the IRIS Institute, said that young people tend to appreciate a work-life balance over financial benefits, saying, if we do not improve our labour market conditions, low pay for tough jobs, low work-life balance, flexibility, and so on, it is not impossible that we too might experience a great resignation. She added, however, that several factors remain which might slow down the occurrence of such a phenomenon in the country, stating that we are still dependent on foreign labour when it comes to low-skilled jobs, and the younger generation is ridden with financial problems and debts due to a lack of financial literacy and consumerism. It's tough to resign.
Okay, she also cited a low level of social protection and need to support family among other financial commitments. Compared to the US and China, she added, Malaysians have less flexibility in terms of work culture. US and China. In terms of work culture, while quality internet connection and access to devices, need to work from home have yet to become commonplace.
Yeah, so those are some pretty sobering words, but there are other options out there, as we know, and one of those options is to go freelance. And whilst that might sound like a scary word for some of you, after the break, we will be hearing from someone who might make it sound a little less scary. Alejandro Kikuchi, head of Asia for leading freelance work platform Workana. Right. Now, our question again, have you considered becoming a freelance worker in the last 2 years? Why or why not with those options? Yes, I need a change. Yes, but only part-time. No, I'm happy where I am, or other, tell us what. Get in touch with us on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
Right. Okay, I just have to talk a little bit about what Adila said, right? Doesn't mean that it's not on the minds, right? I mean, if there are freelance options, people might want to do that and still get work in that sense, but not be under full-time employment. And I was reading this article, this comment that my friend said. Her name is Ulrika Bruna. She's also from an HR training company. She doesn't call it a great resignation, calls it the great awakening. Right, you know, reawakening of things that are important, and you know, so if we, and so you don't, you maybe, you know, so they're showing statistics now, but what's on people's minds moving forward is something else, right? But anyway, we'll hear from an expert after this. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bikes, BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
We are talking beyond frivolous matters. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Christine Wong, together with Frida Liu, we've got a question for you. And that question, Christine, is,
have you considered becoming a freelance worker in the last 2 years? Why or why not? And leading the pack is yes, but only part-time at 46.7%, followed by yes, I need a change at 26.7%. No, I'm happy where I am at 22.7%, and other, tell us what, at 4%. And people have, in fact, told us what. So my sire says, after MCO for most, they really felt that the existing jobs they have are very vulnerable, not for life. Better to have a backup plan in case the current job is not sustainable. And that's my full name says, been freelancing for a year, left a toxic job, looked for full-time work for 2 months, then decided I didn't want to go back to office politics, crazy long hours and KPIs for a lot less than what I used to earn.
Right. Okay. So yes, so interesting comments there. And of course, you can also let us know what you think over WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Fairly quiet on WhatsApp. I think a lot of you are on holiday already or thinking about leaving your work. You know, so, you know, so earlier on, of course, we were, MEF says that this is not happening. The great resignation is not happening
yet.
But but Adila, his economist, said that, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not, I guess, you know, it could be something that could be happening in the future. But we've got an expert here to chime in on this topic. We've got Alejandro Kikuchi, who is head of Asia for leading a freelance platform, Workana. So thanks for being with us, Alejandro. Has much growth, you know, has the
work, how much growth?
How much growth? Okay. Yes. Has the work of Workana platform seen over the last year or so, and how do you think that ties into the great resignation and people wanting to leave their 9-to-5 jobs?
Workana is growing between 6 and 7x over the past year in 2021. And while the great resignation plays a role, we are still seeing only, we're just in the beginning of it. That being said, freelancing, both people wanting to work as freelancers and businesses wanting to hire freelancers, had been a growing trend already. It only got accelerated because with the pandemic.
Right.
And what would you say is the allure of going freelance?
The allure of going freelance, on one hand, it has to do with flexibility, which encompasses many things, not having to endure long commutes or traffic jams every day, not having to take care of personal stuff after business hours or during lunch breaks, but rather being able to have a higher quality of life through being more flexible in terms of how work is approached. And on top of that, over the past couple of decades, there's been a shift in how work is viewed. It's no longer about finding a company and working for it for 40 years, yeah. But rather finding purpose, finding meaning, finding interesting people and projects to work with or on. And in that regard, freelancing offers also that possibility to be involved with amazing projects and amazing people without necessarily the long-term commitment of full-time employment. This goes in line and depends a lot, of course, on digitization and all these new types of jobs and activities that are involved and how that the technology also enables people to work from anywhere and not necessarily in a synchronous manner. You don't have to be at the same place with someone to be able to work with that person. And maybe you don't even need to be online at the same time. For some things, definitely, but for many others, not necessarily. So all these things allow for lots of flexibility, allows a person to pursue other kinds of interests and even dreams.
Right. So the side hustle becomes the full hustle, right? Mm. Alejandro, what kind of jobs are most in demand? Which professionals will make the easiest transition from full-time employees to freelancers?
So jobs that are in high demand, it's a very broad category because it's almost anything that has to do with digital assets. You know how with the pandemic, companies had to go digital, those that were not yet. And those who were digital had to up their game. So that meant a huge shift in how companies acquire customers, how they relate to those customers, how they relate to their vendors. All the players are affected. And that means lots of new jobs for people already used to working with digital assets, people already familiar with communicating digitally, delivering work digitally, familiar with working with collaborative tools in the cloud, people already used to working with code or with social media or with data or with customer service tools or content writing. There's many, many categories. Luckily, I mean, that means lots of opportunities. So it's a bit broad. Perhaps my answer is a bit broad, but that's what I would say. Activities related to digital assets.
I mean, even with that in mind, though, which industries require more talent or freelancers?
So on one hand, as I was saying, freelancing is compatible with any kind of company, particularly companies working with digital assets. And what's interesting there, it's that it does not necessarily have to be client-facing digital assets. It can also be internal, and the internal tools and technologies companies rely on for working every day, right? So broadly speaking, it's compatible with all kinds of industries. That being said, we ourselves working with, of course, tech startups, which have been historically the first to embrace these kinds of things. But we are also seeing FMCG companies, telcos, even airlines. On the other hand, at least in our experience, we are not seeing yet that much of activity coming from heavy industry sectors or financial, though we are having some conversations. So the truth is, at this point, maybe some industries have been quicker to adopt this, but it still is and will remain a growing trend.
Right. And what are the biggest challenges of moving into freelancing from 9 to 5?
So I would say there's two major challenges when moving from from 9 to 5 into freelancing. On one hand, it has to do with the mindset that as a freelancer, there are no bosses, there are clients, and you are your own brand and you are responsible for delivering what was promised. So all of that, you know, you won't have a boss every morning checking in on you, right? What are you going to do? So that mindset and taking full ownership of what you do is definitely a challenge, particularly the longer people have been working in a more of a traditional full-time kind of arrangement. But even more than that, it's the soft skills. Because as a freelancer, of course, you need to be good at what you do, be that translation, content writing, web development, design, or whatever it is. But as a freelancer also, it's crucial to be good at selling your own services and scoping a project and pricing it appropriately, and also organizing your own time, organizing your own workspace, and those kinds of things are perhaps harder to find and are definitely not that common in university syllabus, for example, or there are not as many boot camps out there. Mm. That's precisely what we are tackling with Selangor Freelance, the initiative we've developed in partnership with PNSB and Selangor State Government. You can check it out at selangor.workana.com. It's precisely about this, about empowering people with greater opportunities, including this training in these kinds of soft skills.
Okay, interesting. Now, one of the reasons people stay in 9-to-5 jobs is because of benefits, medical, dental, insurance, etc. What would your advice be towards freelancers who have questions about this?
So this is definitely something that needs to be considered as well. When going into freelancing, right, there's a bit of financial education and it's part of these soft skills that need to be there. You know, organizing money and allocating a bit of that money to pay for a medical insurance privately and those kinds of things. Those kinds of things that, for the most part, perhaps would have usually been covered by an employer. So as a freelancer, being part of, you know, you're your own brand and being part of your own work and owning that also means organizing your finances and taking care of these kinds of benefits, which of course represent costs or investments and therefore need to be planned for. Nowadays, there's not only many companies covering these kinds of benefits, but also companies specializing on independent talent are also coming up covering precisely this kind of gap.
Right. Let's talk about money. Alejandro, in terms of pay, how does having a regular salary compare to going freelance?
Well, it can vary a lot. First and foremost, because not all freelancers are full-time freelancers, and some choose to do some freelancing on the side just to augment their income. So in that case, it's not really comparable to a full-time salary. But people going full-time into freelancing, we've seen this many times. At the very beginning, it's perhaps a bit of a struggle because, you know, you need to get used to not having the same amount of money in your bank at the end of every month. And so organizing the finances around a not as steady influx of income is a bit challenging at first. But additionally, as a freelancer, the great thing is that there are no limits. You know, you don't have to wait for an end of year review for your salary to perhaps be adjusted. As a freelancer, at any time, you can simply decide to start charging more to, you know, new clients or to take on a couple more projects to make a better income. At the same time, as a freelancer, you can choose to do the opposite and for a certain month work less, basically, if you need to focus on other things. And these kinds of aspects about freelancing are what I mentioned at the beginning about flexibility. And this flexibility needs to be appreciated as well as tamed in a sense, and that can be a bit challenging. That's why there's this mindset change involved and all of these soft skills, which, as I was mentioning, we are covering with Slang or Freelance. And it's about that. It's making, in order to make the most of that flexibility, there needs to be intent. But the flexibility can definitely be a huge benefit, including on how pay or, you know, income in general could improve.
Mm-hmm. And what is your final piece of advice for people who might want to go freelance?
So, final advice. Well, embrace this flexibility. And that means you don't have to quit your job tomorrow and just start right. freelancing. You can give it a try, just on the side. Of course, it's not going to be, the effect is not going to be the same as if it has your full focus and attention and time. But still, freelancing, being flexible, allows to give it a try. So, you know, you can start building your online presence, learning a bit about some of these soft skills I was mentioning that are very, very useful and or necessary. And sign up to Workana. And again, if you are a Selangor resident, you can sign up at selangor.workana.com, and there's a cash incentive and free trainings. And if not, you can still join the platform and give it a try, and maybe, you know, try and get one project. Simple, but start getting a sense of what this all is about managing a client, about trying to win a client in the first place. And then it can definitely be a gradual transition, and because freelancing is flexible, and that's, you know, which is one of its greatest aspects and benefits. So if you're considering going freelancing, ourselves, Workana, we've published a ton of material about it, and there's even more out there. You can have a look. You can and embrace that flexibility, and you can give it a try without yet, you know, diving completely into it.
Great advice, Alejandro Kikuchi, head of Asia for leading freelance platform Workana. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and she was telling me her last drawn salary in 2018 before she decided to go freelance, and she said she earned more than her last drawn salary. This year, I mean, it took 4 years.
Okay, 4 years, but you know
the fact that she's now actually earning more than the last drawn salary is quite promising, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And despite the pandemic, right? Anyway, what are the final poll results looking like, Chris?
All right, let's take a look, giving it a quick refresh now. Have you considered becoming a freelance worker in the last 2 years? Why or why not? Yes, but only part-time is in the majority, 46.3%, followed by yes, I need a change at 27.5%. So most people are thinking about it. No, I'm happy where I am at 22.5%, and other tell us what at 3.8%.
Right, so one-fifth are actually happy where they are. So, and the rest are open to be freelance or trying, taking a, what dipping their toe into it. I guess you can check out Workana. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Tomorrow, rumor has it that Arvind Yuvaraj will be joining me for Enterprise Biz Bites. So you've got to stay tuned for that tomorrow to find out if it's true. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Thanks for being with us. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.